Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Sorry for the delay, technical difficulties. We could not access the show, begin the show through the computer, so something didn't work. Skype didn't work. So we had to call the telephone number. I'd like to start out with a talk story, sort of a personal sharing. And this is about plum blossoms. Around this time of year, you know, very early spring, when we were living in Japan, I used to go to this certain temple. It was known for plum blossoms. And plum blossoms are the earliest trees to bloom. And in fact, sometimes in very early spring, when there's still snow on the tree branches, you see the plump plum blossoms just starting to bud out, and there's still snow on the branch. That's often a very classic picture or photograph that's seen a lot, and that's why plum blossoms are symbols of courage. They know that spring is coming, and they courageously blossom out even though it's cold and there's still snow, and spring is not there yet, warm weather. And this sort of reminded me of Bette Midler's The Rose. When she sings that song, there's a sort of the same theme there. And as the lyric goes, when the night's been too lonely and the road has been too long, just remember in the winter, far beneath the bitter snows, lies the seed that in the spring becomes the rose. And one of my favorite quotes is by the French existential philosopher Albert Camus, who said, "In the midst of winter, I discovered within myself an invincible summer." How I love that quote. Well, speaking of winter, I know the northeast part of the country has suffered a lot of good, more than usual snow. And today's guest is Wendy Haylett, who lives in Rochester, New York. She's a lay minister from our Bright Dawns class of 2009. And she's going to be giving today's Dharma Glimpse. So, Wendy Shinyo Sensei.
I don't have which form.
No, but she's not coming on.
You have to unmute her.
Oh.
On your switchboard. On your switchboard.
Which one is she?
I'm 585.
Okay, you're on. You're live. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't have to do any of that because that's okay.
Okay, good morning. Everyone hears me now, right? Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Good morning, everybody, from snowing Rochester. It is still snowing. We have 16 inches on the ground of yesterday, and it's still snowing now, so we'll see what happens. So my Dharma Glimpse today is about what we rely on. This weekend, mine has been my snowblower, but other than that, I want to talk a little bit about what we rely on. As children, we rely on our parents or our guardians, and when we get older, although we still rely on our parents, spouses, wider family and friends, and even maybe the broader life of broader web of life's interdependency, it becomes an individual spiritual discovery or search for what we will rely on in the deepest, most alone moments of our lives. To someone religious, it might be God. To the non-religious, agnostic, or atheist, it might be reliance on oneself or broad concepts like science or nature. To a Buddhist, either one with beliefs or one without beliefs, it would be the triple gem, the three jewels of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. To a Buddhist with beliefs, it might be other power, the grace of Amida, a host of different Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, a guru or a lama. And to complicate matters even more, I read somewhere that in a study of Buddhists, it seems each practicing Buddhist tended to put more emphasis on either one jewel or the other. But if someone asked me what I relied on, I would say without hesitation, the Dharma. Yet I frequently catch a glimpse of myself thinking or behaving in ways that demonstrate that I am not, in fact, relying on the Dharma. To keep this glimpse brief, the Dharma I rely on looks like what is referred to as the four seals. That one, all compound things are impermanent. Two, all stained emotions are painful. Three, all phenomena are empty without inherent existence. And four, Nirvana is beyond extremes and is peace. The four seals of the Dharma are both my compass and my anchor, or should I say, they are sometimes. I know that if I cling too firmly to the hope and belief that things in my life will remain the same and the conditions of my health, my relationships, my surroundings will be permanent, then I will be disappointed. If I expect that because I am happy today and life seems smooth and comfortable, then that's the way I will also perceive it tomorrow, the next day, and the next, then I will be disappointed. But if I truly rely on the four seals as my ground, I will not let myself fall into a conventional assessment of, or judgment of those things. But instead, I will rely on my wisdom mind, the mind revealed to me by the Dharma through my precious teachers of the Dharma. In the Vimalakirti Sutra, the Buddha taught us exactly what we should rely on, and it is referred to commonly as the four reliances. He said we should, number one, rely on the message of the Dharma, not the teacher or his personality. Number two, we should rely on the meaning, not the words or the expression of the Dharma. Number three, rely on the real meaning, not just the provisional meaning. And number four, rely on our wisdom minds, not on ordinary judgment mind. So as a Dharma practitioner, I know what to rely on. But knowing doesn't always make it so. That's why we refer to ourselves as Buddhist or Dharma practitioners. We know it is about practice, about training. I know I haven't practiced enough to make the Dharma my natural, instinctive reliance, support, or comfort. But fortunately, I have practiced enough that it is my second or follow-up thought after an initial reactionary response to anger, impatience, fear, sadness. If it was my first reaction, then I probably would be a bodhisattva. One of my teachers once told me that a good gauge of your practice is the seconds or minutes, hours, or days between a thought of anger and the guiding thought of the Dharma to stop that thought of anger. We are practicing to make the interval between the two longer. I have come a long way, but I have much longer to come to get that interval extended, especially with impatience and a lifelong battle I have with perfectionism. Perfectionism is a crippling obsession focused on wanting to do things perfectly, which means that sometimes I'm not able to start doing the thing at all for fear of not doing it up to my own internal standards. This neurosis of mine is an indication that at my heart, I depend not on the Dharma, but on some false view of myself. The Dharma tells me that I should not cling to form because it is empty of inherent existence. The Dharma tells me that things will change because they are not permanent and are dependent on other things. Yet my struggle with perfectionism demonstrates that, in fact, I am clinging to the expectation that I should and could do things perfectly and that it should always happen that way, no matter what other circumstances are affecting the way I'm working, the speed at which I am working, or who I'm working with, things that I cannot change. Yet, I am relying on things to be perfect from a conventional perspective, even though I know things can't be perfect. I am seeing things as I want them to be, not as they truly are. But it isn't just big lifelong neuroses that indicate how our practice is going. It can be seemingly little things, too. A particular event happened to me recently that was profoundly symbolic. I would call it almost mythical in its ability to teach me that I am not relying on the true Dharma. It was when my Dharma box was accidentally knocked off my dresser. And just as an aside here, if anybody's on our website, the Ning site, I've posted a picture of the Dharma box on the photos, and I featured it so you could see it. So if people don't know what I'm talking about, that's what it is. So anyway, my Dharma box was accidentally knocked off my dresser. The Dharma box I'm referring to is a beautifully handcrafted wooden box created by a friend of Bright Dawn and given to our lay ministry class when we were inducted this past May. It displays the Eightfold Path on the front and has a hinged top allowing the placement of special Dharma teachings and treasures inside. The box has taken on a special significance in my life. Not only does it mark a major highlight in my life, I use it as a daily Dharma reminder. I keep it on a dresser at the foot of my bed. Every morning when I wake up and every night when I go to bed, I read the Eightfold Path and do a gassho. And when I find, or should I say make the time, I used it as Reverend Coyo suggested to us, filling the box with turning phrases to work with in a deeper way in our journals. When the box hit the floor, the hinge was damaged. It is intact, but the lid does not close evenly. My first reaction was an immediate anger that my treasure was damaged. It took me longer than I am happy to admit to go from that moment of anger to the grounding realization of the Dharma. The form of the box changed. That is all. Finally, though, I was able to call on the four reliances and begin to think with my wisdom mind and not with my ordinary walking around mind. Then I remembered that my Dharma box is not the Dharma. I remembered that the words written on the front of my Dharma box, the words that represent the Eightfold Path, are not the Dharma. I remembered that the words stuffed into my Dharma box are not the Dharma, nor are they my practice, but only signs of it. I also remembered that if my Dharma box was destroyed, or even if my house was destroyed, the Dharma would still be here for me. All I have to do is remember it. And that takes practice. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm reminded of talking about a damaged box. The lid didn't fit right. I remember a story told by a disciple of Maezume Roshi, who founded the Los Angeles Zen Center. They were preparing for an elaborate ceremony, and she was carrying some lacquered cups, teacups, and one fell off the tray and fell on the rocks and got chipped. So she panicked and was going to see if she could get a replacement cup and everything, and then Maezume Roshi said, no, keep that chipped cup. It's valuable. It's more important that way. It's more valuable that way, the chipped cup. So she received a valuable Dharma teaching there because, you see, Maezume Roshi, it was no secret that he had a drinking problem. And we're all damaged. We're all chipped. And that humanness is what makes us so special. Well, my Dharma talk today has to deal with, I guess I'm thinking about spring and flowers, and I was thinking of Undumbara, which is said to be the flower that the Buddha held up in his, one of his famous gatherings. He held up a flower, and maybe it was a lotus flower, I don't know. And his main disciple, Mahakashapa, smiled. And the Buddha said, I have transmitted, you know, my teaching to Mahakashapa. You know, it was getting time for the Buddha to step back down a little bit, and he was getting older. Now, when he held up this flower and didn't say anything, and he waited for reactions, no one knew how to react, and only Mahakashapa smiled. And this accounting in the Buddhist literature has drawn a lot of commentary. That flower, sometimes it's called Undumbara. I don't know that much about the history of that word or and so forth, but I do know that it's often defined as a mythical flower, a legendary flower. So not necessarily a real species. And it's a symbol of enlightenment. So Undumbara is the Buddha's flower. It's a flower of enlightenment. It signifies enlightenment. Flowers themselves have all kinds of teachings and many stories and commentaries that deal with flowers. But when we think about Undumbara, the flower of enlightenment, what Dharma teachings are contained in it? And many times, there are several layers of meaning in a teaching, moving from the more obvious to the more sublime, perhaps. And for the Undumbara flower, the first layer of the teaching is that flowers are symbolize the teaching of impermanence. Flowers are beautiful, you know, and while it's a symbol for our human life, we enjoy human life, but it's impermanent. So flowers are beautiful, but they will wilt by the day's end. And of course, the other side of impermanence is that, well, we should enjoy the flower's beauty right now. Not in the abstract sense, but look at this flower and enjoy its beauty right now, because we know it won't last. Okay? It is said that death is the mother of beauty. If we knew we were going to live forever and forever and forever, could we really enjoy life? You know, enjoy the day, enjoy the present moment. The second layer of teaching is that when you look at a flower, as Thich Nhat Hanh has said, you could see the process. You could see the compost in that flower. You know? and vice versa. When you look at compost, you should be able to see a flower. Okay. So he talks about interbeing, you know, interdependency, interpenetration among all things. You look at a sheet of paper, and you should be able to see the cloud, because the cloud produced the rain, and the rain fell and grew the trees that produced this paper. This kind of wide perspective is the gate to Satori, it is said. Then perhaps the third layer behind the teaching of a flower is that simply that, as the Heart Sutra, Heart of Wisdom Sutra, which is the, you know, in the Prajnaparamita, is a long, long sutra, but the Heart of Wisdom Sutra is the shortest sutra that's part of it. And within the short Heart of Wisdom Sutra, the core of it, the essence of it, is in the phrase, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. And that's a very deep kind of teaching that requires a lot of unpacking, perhaps, sort of like a koan, you know. Well, I think the Undumbara flower is always being presented to us, somewhere around us. Its sweet scent of the Dharma just turns my head. Thank you. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. Again, we're going to work on straightening out the technical aspects. That's always a challenge and makes it exciting. I put my hands together in oneness, and I thank our guest, Wendy Shinyo Sensei, and I thank all of you for joining us. Have a beautiful day. I'm going to unmute. I think everybody's unmuted, Adrian. I'll turn it over to you. You come over here.
Yeah, I found out that I cannot sign in as myself and have Bright Dawn also sign in at the same time. And today, since I signed in first, that's why we couldn't get our Skype to work today. But everything else seems to, once we figure that out. How was the reception today?
Good. It was good.
Okay. Well, every Sunday it's a new.
I was talking to the speakerphone of our regular phone. So I thought that we were doing everything by phone. I didn't know we had to do the. I had to go to the switchboard.
Good.
I'm confused about that switchboard and Skype to Skype. I mean.
Hello, Koya Sensei.
Hi. Yes.
This is Sayo. A good way to do the Skype to Skype, you can do it directly from the switchboard, which makes it a lot easier. I think you just click it, and you just have to have your Skype account open, and it does the rest for you.
I tried that, but like Adrian said,
since we're on the same DSL line, I guess that we can't be signed on at different sign-ins.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. Okay, so one person would have to sign in.
Yeah, so. So next time we'll make sure that he signs in and I just use the same sign-in.
Well, something else I learned today was I logged in early and I was wanting to go ahead and hit the play exactly at 8 a.m. or 11 a.m., wherever you're from, hit the opening and the – because it's set up. I've looked at it for the past week, and it says that the opening message and the music should immediately go on as soon as Sensei dials in. I don't know if it did or not, because I had to wait until Sensei signed on as the host to be able to use the Skype.
Right.
And I can't until the host dials in or calls in, I can't play any of the files.
I see. Okay.
Ooh. I'm wondering then, should the host be somebody other than Koyo and Adrian? Koyo Sensei and Adrian-san? Or not?
Well, I think what I think the way it might work is, when I call in, then on the controls there on the screen, it does say what music files have been uploaded. And then
right.
If I click on it, it should then start.
Right, yeah.
So I that's the way to do it, I think.
Yeah.
To be waiting around.
It's set up. I mean, I've looked at it three times, and this week I've uploaded it four times. And every time, I mean, if you are logged into the Bright Dawn Blog Talk Radio, like the main page, if you look at uploaded and edited files, you'll notice that the opening music, opening message and music is set as default. So the moment you dial in, it should immediately kind of come up. But I don't know. I'm trying to see what I'm trying to debug the system to see what exactly it is, if it has to be like exactly at 11, but I don't know how that would work, or 8 a.m. But yeah, it's really easy, Sensei. If you dial in and I named it really simple. It just says opening message and music. As soon as you're in, you just if you hear in the background that there's nothing playing. While your microphone is on mute, you could just hit play, and then everything, you know, for the next 2 minutes, it's just the opening message and the music, and then once that's done, it stops on its own, and then you can come on and do your greetings.
Yeah, because I'll try to come on, you know, like 10 minutes early, so we don't want it to come on when I come on.
Right.
But I'll come on 10 minutes early, and then right at 8, I'll hit that button. No.
Okay. And then is that what I did is I still left the medley music from last week. Do you want me to keep that there for you?
We see it. That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay. Then the one with the opening, it has that message that I recorded, and then the music. It's all together. So it starts with the message and then right into the music. It's about a minute and 30 seconds. Like all together is about 2 minutes with the message and the opening music.
That sounds great.
So that way we don't, you know, because I thought that I was able to log on and hit play right at 11 for you, just in case, you know, it didn't go on. But I can't. There's no control over the switchboard until the host dials in.
Yeah, yeah. And today I couldn't get on, and
we were fumbling around for.
And then Adrian said, "Oh, maybe it's because she has to get off on her computer," which she did, but still it didn't go on.
Well,
so I don't know if that was just the lag thing.
Well, this is Muyo. I was in there when you clicked in, and then you knocked me off, and I had to call back in.
Oh.
Interesting.
I don't know.
So,
that's weird, because I was in there early, too, and
well,
I didn't
I could
get
hear,
off.
Yeah, I could hear, you know, I heard Wendy, you know. There was, it. You know, it said went to the host, and then it went click, and then it went dead, and then I redialed back in.
Huh.
So, technical glitch.
Nice to hear your voice, Moyo.
Yes, it is.
You know, hey, we got to. Yeah, you're the host. You're the facilitator for today for Trailblazers, huh?
I'm at 7 o'clock Central Time tonight.
Right. Okay.
And I will do. What is it, March? 3rd? No. What, I written March 7th, right?
Huh?
That you have me scheduled to do a Dharma glimpse?
That's next week,
yeah.
Well, yeah, because Jennifer's birthday is on the 4th, and that's her birthday present.
Yeah.
It's going to be me doing the Dharma at, talk, and then we'll, following weekend we'll go to Minneapolis to see our daughter.
All right.
And I'll see you guys tonight for the Lay Minister 11.
Yeah, at 7 o'clock Central, what is that, 8 o'clock snow time?
Yes, but actually I'll be on an hour early, right, Reverend Coyle and
Adrian-san?
Yeah, for the facilitating of the Lay Minister 11 group, right?
Okay. All right, well, then I'll be on at 7 Central time.
Yeah.
And I will see you all tonight.
Yeah, you got you guys working today.
Yeah, you do. Gives me a break from getting the snow off.
Okay, very good.
All right, all.
Any other questions, comments?
Gio-san, are you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
The Blog Talk player is really stacked up nicely now. It's perfect.
Oh, okay. I have to go and switch the date for this one, so that way, because I have to change the date on a weekly basis.
Yeah, and but that kind of works good because when the live one comes on, it's very clear that it's live.
Oh, okay.
You know, because you see all the old past dates underneath, so I think that's just great.
So that's a good idea, just to leave the present, the live one, without the date. To differentiate
until,
from the other ones?
Right.
Until after it's done, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like when I went onto my computer, it had last Sunday's playing, and then when he switched over, it went to the current.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's really nice because then they know if it's actually, if they hit play, but they can see that it says, you know, Sunday 2/21, so it would get them pretty clear that that's not today's.
Okay. All right, so I'll do that on the as soon as we finish, and I'll just change it when we finish.
Okay, and I'll take the unfeature my Dharma box on the Ming site now.
I saw that.
Oh yeah, I liked your good clip, by the way. I really liked it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, everyone.
Bye.
Until tonight. See you all later.
Yep.
Until tonight.
Until tonight.